Welcome, everybody, to the call. Of course, we're going to start off the show a little bit differently this week. We want to, Josh and I, Josh is on the phone with me. Josh, how's it going, man?
I'm good tonight. How are you?
Doing good. Before we started off the show, I just wanted to do something really quick here. You know, there was a huge national tragedy that happened this past Friday in Connecticut, in Newtown. And Josh and I just want to say that we're thinking of everyone in Connecticut. Thoughts and prayers go out to them. And God, just what a terrible thing, especially to happen so close to the holiday. So, you know, just wanted to tell everybody out there that we're thinking of you, and that we hope that this is somewhat comforting to you guys, that we're all thinking about you with the rest of the nation.
Absolutely. To echo what Brandon just said, just want to take this moment to reflect and say thoughts and prayers with the families involved and anybody around that situation. It's pretty tragic, and hopefully we'll come together as a nation and show them what we're made of. And again, you know, from the call to anybody who's listening, maybe Connecticut, anybody in the area, we've gotten up that far, just want to say our condolences, and we're thinking about you all.
And before we start the show off here, we're just going to have a quick couple seconds of silence to do whatever you want to do. You know, if you want to say a prayer, if you want to, you know, wish everybody good luck or happy thoughts or whatever you do to kind of send good vibes up there. We're going to give you guys that opportunity right now, and then we'll get right into the show. So, our thoughts and prayers are with you, Newtown, and this next couple seconds are for you.
Tonight is about each other. Tonight is about relentless football. And anything about a touch of football, they get knocked out tonight. Let's do what we do best on three. One, two, three. Oh!
And that was a disgraceful performance, in my opinion. We threw that game. We gave it away by doing that. We gave them the friggin' game. In my opinion, that sucked. What's that? Playoffs? What are you talking about? Playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs? I just hope we can win a game.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. Five times in the playoffs. That's right. The Baltimore Ravens playoff bound. Unbelievable. Welcome to the call. Of course, I'm at Brendo Cash on Twitter. Phoning in with me, my buddy Josh. What's going on, man?
Playoffs? What? Playoffs?
I know. After this past Sunday, I didn't think a lot of people would be saying playoffs, but here we are.
Who would have known? The Ravens can back their way into the playoffs. Wow. I mean, you know, it's on a somber note because, again, another loss incurred. What a mess. But the bright side, people, the glass half full. The Ravens are one of the final 12 teams yet again in the John Harbaugh, Joe Flacco, Ray Rice area. And we have yet to see a bitter taste of what it's like not to be in the postseason. So I'm going to enjoy this one while I can. But right now, this loss stings, and it stings hard again.
It's been a long time since I've seen Baltimore this distraught over a Ravens team. You know, the second the Ravens, you know, things started going bad, I started seeing things on Facebook, on Twitter, saying, when spring training start, I'm ready for the O's, which who would have ever thought that the Orioles were going to be, you know, the bigger team in Baltimore, recently, because up until this past season, you know, Camden Yards did not sell out, but here we are, it's December, the Ravens are in the playoffs, but this loss is just huge. This is our third in a row, which not used to that at all. But this is the biggest thing here. We got to talk about this. The answer, of course, at the beginning of last week was Cam Cameron. He's the reason why things are going bad. He's the reason why, you know, Ray Rice isn't running and everything like that. And here we are, Cam Cameron-less, and it was a piss-poor display of offense.
Piss poor is just the tip of the iceberg. I was actually in attendance for this one, and boy, I've heard all kinds of stuff. I have to share my experiences in the stadium. I actually had my own personal experiences like you did last Sunday at FedEx Field. Boy, did I have a blast. I actually was laughing, literally. Like, I actually was laughing instead of throwing a temper tantrum. I literally just started laughing. I didn't know what else to do. Put it this way. I'm going to put my personal spin of dedication here on this one for you, Brandon, and folks out there listening. It shows you how dedicated I am. Get this. Okay. I attended by the way, I want to shout out to my brother before I start. Congratulations. He actually graduated college this past weekend, so I went down there for that.
Congrats
to
him.
I was actually, thank you. Shout out to him and congrats on his new endeavors. And I was actually down in Tennessee. That was pretty crazy in itself because being from Baltimore, East Coast, and around the water, around the sports, around everybody, the blue-collar town, and you go all the way. I was down in the Cleveland, Chattanooga area, Tennessee, and it's just a different environment. So I came from there this weekend, and it's, you know, that's like, you know, Nashville, Tennessee Titans area. Well, you walk in the streets, I mean, there was great. We went to some good coffee houses, some good shops. The town's pretty cool, but it's a different world because there's no sports feel. I mean, I've seen, you know, they got Tennessee Volunteers there, but I've seen LSU hats. I've seen Roll Tide license plates. I mean, it was just, it's SEC football down there, and you just hardly didn't get that flavor that we have here about, you know, Camden Yards. You walk around on Purple Friday, you see people in purple, the Orioles hats. You just didn't get to see that, and it was just kind of weird. But, not, you know, I wanted to share how my travels led me to M&T Bank Stadium this Sunday. Get this. I took a bus from Knoxville, Tennessee at 10:30 and came all the way. I rode all night on a bus, okay, and rode all night. Got dropped off in D.C. at 8 in the morning. Took another bus that left just before 9 a.m., dropped me off at White Marsh. I rushed home to get my gear ready. Then I rushed down to the game. We were in stadium by 12:30.
Wow.
So, yeah. So, before all the chaos ensued at the game at 1 o'clock, I actually was just, you know, trying to hurry to get home for this game because I had tickets to the game. And, again, I'm very, very gracious and grateful enough to have tickets this year. And I'm out of seven home games. That's the most I've been all year. So I've actually seen the best and the worst of this football team. And just to break down what you were starting to talk about, Brandon, wow. What a breakdown. I mean, the call era begins. Everybody was excited. And honestly, the whole first quarter and up until the second quarter, that crowd was outrageous. It was loud in there. When Peyton got under center, it was loud. It was loud as I've heard it this season, other than I think the Patriots game was a little bit louder than that too, but it was literally, you couldn't hear.
Jeez.
And the crowd was into it. I got into it, especially when we sacked him on those two consecutive plays and got in pressure. I was all excited. The game was kind of close, and then all the air just went out of the sails. What was Joe Flacco thinking? And I don't know, and here's the thing. We can sit here and say hindsight's 2020 because we got the wonderful job of breaking it down and putting our opinions and personal spin on the games because we see it and see the aftermath, and we can go, oh, we can sit there and be Monday morning quarterback and or whatever day quarterback and pick them apart and go, they should have done this, they should have done that. Sometimes Harbaugh admits to it, sometimes he doesn't. But what I think should have happened was, and I was even screaming for it to stands, okay, it's 10-0, the defense is playing out of their minds. The offense was sputtering, but in the fact it was a 10-point game, I noticed my buddy, I looked at him, I was like, bro, it's still a 10-point game. I said, it feels like the Charger game where they were playing so bad, but the game was still close. And I said, they're going to probably win this game, hopefully. Well, they were driving, and I felt good about, you know, the offense, and I said, okay. Well, when Torrey Smith got down there on the 4-yard line, what I was screaming for, I looked, okay, you got 40 seconds, you got 3 timeouts, let's call a timeout and regroup. No, they rush up to the line, and then Flacco throws I don't know what kind of play that was, but it wasn't going to even get it. Even if he had caught it, I think he was going to be at best on the 1. He had to turn around and get the end zone.
Right.
So, again, here's my notation for this exact series. You've got to run the football 5 yards in. They try to get cute, and again, Cam tried to do it now. I don't know. Bass Caldwell tried to do it. I watched other teams do it. Drew Brees can do it. Aaron Rodgers can do it. The elite quarterbacks and some special quarterbacks can do this, but not ours. Run the football. You got Ray Rice, you got Vontae Leach, 2 of the top 100 players in the NFL voted by the players this year, and you can't run it in 4 yards. I've seen time and time again, this team do that, and I'm a little bit frustrated about that. You do not put Joe Flacco in a situation where it's, I think it was first down at that point. Okay, three timeouts. Call a timeout, regroup. Okay, you run the ball twice. You could call two more timeouts, and then maybe throw it on third down and kick a field. At worst, you go into the halftime, 10-3, and we get the ball back in the half. Best case scenario, it's a 3-point ball game at 10-7. The stadium's energized. The tide of the turns to our side of momentum, and we get points out of it, and we get the ball back, so there's another opportunity to score twice. But no, it was just atrocious. You're going to hear that word a lot in this podcast, people. It's just, this was utterly atrocious, gun-wrenching. I was humped over the chair. When he threw that pick six, I literally was humped over the chair in front of me because I just couldn't believe what I saw. I literally just stood stunned, and I looked around. I'm like, did that just happen? I was in total utter disbelief of what I just saw. I was like, did I? And you could just hear it. The stadium just got quieter and quieter and quieter. It was just, it was an experience I've never seen before at the stadium, especially a home game, where it's just, and that just kind of tells the story. That right then and there, that was the ball game. You just knew it. You're like, they're done.
Yeah, you know, they never really recovered after that, and that's the thing that really kills me is that, you know, we talked about this earlier and on an old podcast, how this is a very lopsided offense. You know, they usually play half a game. This, they didn't show up for I'd say 75% of this game.
I'd say about 92% of this game.
Yeah, it was just crazy. That pick six, you know, right in the end zone that Flacco threw, that's the play that everyone's talking about. But the big thing you got to look at it is that he was staring at Anquan Boldin. I mean, if you didn't know that he was throwing it to Anquan Boldin,
I did.
You are blind. You're just blind if you didn't know, because Flacco just telegraphed it so much. If this was a game of poker, you know that he would have, you know, pocket aces at this point, because you knew exactly where he was going and what he was going to do. And you can't do that with this kind of defense. You can't do that in football in general. I mean, he's a guy that needs a lot of time in the pocket. And with that offensive line, they don't give you a lot of time in the pocket. And he's not doing well with that kind of rush offense. But that play just—it should have never happened. It shouldn't have been, you know, with being so close. It should have been run in. It should have been Ray Rice or Vontae Leach.
What about bootlegs? We've seen in 2006, Steve McNair ran a bootleg probably around the same exact yardage in New Orleans against the Saints. It was he dropped back and then just took off. We've seen it time and time again. I've seen other quarterbacks do it. And whether it's play calling, whether it's their athleticism, or whether it's their decision-making, I don't know. And another thing, you can sit there and blame Flacco all you want. I'm just tired of the debate. Is he elite? He's still a very good quarterback. I would take him over half the quarterbacks in the NFL, honestly. And we're going to get to that later in the show, because we have a lot of good things to talk about on the show. But it's just, here's the thing. It starts in the trenches. When he has not even 2.5 seconds to throw to football, it's not going to happen. I watched Sunday Night Football, Tom Brady, his line was blocked for him. He was running around. He probably had 10 seconds to throw to football. But no, the line, I heard it from a Giants fan this week, because obviously we play Giants on Sunday, we'll get to that. A Giants fan broke down the Ravens' problems, and that's not even our fan. He said, you cannot play good football and be a good deep playoff team when you're playing mutual chairs with your offensive line. If you look at the teams, their offensive line stays intact. Again, knock on wood, barring to injuries, which I don't think the offensive line has any injuries. For number one, Billick, here we go again. Harbaugh needs to stop acting like Billick and get McKinney out of his doghouse, whatever doghouse he's in. We need to be starting Brian McKinney. We've heard that one already. Here's the thing. We got Ja Reed, who's a sophomore. We got Kalichi Osemele, who's a rookie, starting. Michael Orr should be moved back to right tackle. He's not a left tackle in the NFL. Granted, Blindside's a great story, great movie. Happy to have him as a Raven. But Mr. Orr, please go back on the right side. He does not block. He just can't. He's getting beat off the line. And Matt Burke, sorry, we should have let him go 2 years ago. We need to get younger on the line to block these big guys coming, because the NFL is a lot bigger and faster, and these guys are coming. And they're coming for Flacco, and they're coming for fresh meat. They look at him as fresh meat. And guess who we play on Sunday? We play Jason Pierre-Paul, we play Justin Tuck, and we play Uche Umunyiora. They're going to eat Flacco alive. I'm telling you. it just doesn't stop. And this, I'm very fearful on Sunday with this Giants defense coming in town. I'm telling you, I'm
definitely worried with that. Flacco is a guy, like I said, he needs some time in the pocket, and these guys aren't giving it to him. This loss that was this past Sunday, I'm not blaming it completely on Flacco. I'm not blaming it completely on the offense. We'll get to the defense in a little bit, but that O-line is beat up. We have Marshall Yanda. He's missing, and you could definitely feel that he was not on that field. You know, due to an injury that he had in the Redskins game, he was very missed on the field. Michael Orr, I've like you said, it's a great story, but I've never been a huge fan of Michael Orr. I always kind of saw him as a guy who, you know, got a lot of flags and kind of cost a lot of penalties and a lot of yards for the Ravens. And we have Kelechi, like you brought up. He is a rookie, so he's making a lot of mistakes. He's making a lot of rookie mistakes. Being just a big guy, you know, doesn't cut it in the NFL. You need to have some skill there. And I think he has some, but I don't know if it's at an NFL level just yet. So there's a lot of stuff. This team, we brought it up time and time again. You said it perfectly. It does not have an identity. This is not a defensive team. This is not an offensive team. This is a team that is being held together with duct tape because we keep getting injuries. We keep having guys going all over the place. It's like you're playing you know, the crab game at Camden Yards, where you're trying to track the crab and where it goes all over the place, to the left, to the right, to the center, to the left, to the right, to the center, and no one knows where they're supposed to be, and no one knows how to play correctly. So this is a team that needs some sort of consistency, and the consistency it has right now is losing, and I don't like that.
Nobody really likes losing, Brandon.
That's a pretty good point, yeah.
No, I mean, no one does. I mean, but granted, we're not going to go 16-0. That's why I'm still going to predict some losses for the Ravens. We all know that. The pitchers couldn't even do it at the expense of the Giants. But in a sense, we have to keep our head together and realize that this is a playoff team, whether we like it or not. We're in the playoffs. Honestly, I'd rather be in than out, wouldn't you?
Absolutely. I look at Pittsburgh right now.
Be in. Exactly. Look at Pittsburgh. They got a win out, and we have to lose out for them to win the division and get in. We can lose out and still get in because we'd be the sixth seed and be on the road the whole time. But we won't want that kind of losing streak on our heads going to playoffs because there will be one and done. But that's another story. But here's the thing in perspective, and we're going to actually break this down real quick and really show you. Don't hit the panic button. We're going to jump back 2 years ago. Okay, Green Bay Packers. This point in the season, they were 8-6. They just lost two straight games, weeks 14 and 15. We're on a three-game losing streak. They lost 3 out of 4. What happened? We all know. They won the next two games, snuck into playoffs in the 6-10-6, went all on the road, and they beat the eventual AFC champion who beat us, was the Pittsburgh Steelers, and they played the Super Bowl. Am I wrong?
No, you're right.
Okay, now let's put it to effective this year. The defending champs coming to town this year. We all know what happened last year. Thank God they beat the Patriots who beat us. Well, here's the thing. Giants, they had a worse situation. Week 15 of last season, they just lost to the Redskins 23-10. They were losing 5 out of 6.
Wow.
I don't think they were on a losing streak, but they lost that game, week 15. They won their last two games to finish 9-7. They beat the Cowboys in the regular season. I believe it was the Cowboys. Either Cowboys or Eagles. I think it was the Cowboys. I remember watching that game. They got into the playoffs. They went on the run. They even knocked off the 15-1 Packers in Lambeau. And then they won that incredible game against the Niners. And then they beat the Patriots Super Bowl. Guys, girls, whatever, whoever's listening. The dogs could be listening for all I care. Hey, shout out to anybody who's listening. But here, let's put it in perspective. We're not out of it. We're in the playoffs. As long as the team gets hot, we're good. I'm just getting sick and tired of everybody, like, throwing in the towel. I'm like, yeah, we don't look like a tall team. I'll be the first one to tell you. That's why I was laughing in the stands. But the other two, the last two champions in the NFL were in about the same predicament the Ravens are in now. It seemed like they had no identity. Everybody's writing them off, and all of a sudden, they get hot. Ray Rice has said that this week. Yes, we're not playing our best football, but as long as the team gets hot right now and fixes what's going on, they can get in. But they're in a dance, fellas. So here my opinion is, once they're in a dance, they can get it corrected. They can make a deep playoff run. They have the tools in place to do so, but they're just not doing it right now, and I don't know what the problem is, and no one can fix it. And defense is another story, Brandon, and I don't know if there's any game balls to be thrown out here, but I'm going to tell you what, it's evident when Ed Reed slammed his helmet on the sidelines, You know, everybody's like, well, this team quit. Well, I don't think that's sign of a team who quit. Ed Reed throwing his helmet and throwing a temper tantrum and everybody being outspoken, upset, that's not a quitting team. That's a team who's trying to figure out answers, and they're just getting more and more frustrated. But I don't think they need to lose their heads, because I think if the Ravens themselves start panicking, they won't win another game this year, and they probably could be one and done the playoffs for the first time in how many years.
Yeah, you know, it is something interesting to talk about. These guys can't get frustrated. They got to keep their head on a swivel. They got to do this. They got to work really hard to win a game. They're just like us. They're fans of football, and they want to play the best game possible. But right now, they're not doing that. So they have to fix whatever they need to fix. Yes, you have a new offensive coordinator coming in, getting used to the system, but he's already been with the Ravens a year, year and a half almost, and so he should know how a lot of this works. You do have a beat up defense. You're missing a lot of leaders on the field. But here's something I want to talk to you real quick about the fans here. Okay, now, like you said, it's not expected the Ravens to go undefeated. There are going to be losses. Now, if this schedule was different, let's just say hypothetically, if the last three games were spread out and weren't three in a row, do you think that fans would be freaking out as much as they are right now? Because my biggest question here is, because this is a very tough schedule. We talked about this before we were even on iTunes, about how bad of a schedule this was at the end. I mean, you got the Steelers 2 out of 3 weeks. You've got the Manning brothers back to back. You got the Bengals who looked pretty good after, you know, the first week when we completely killed them. So this isn't going to be an easy schedule. And I think if these games were more spread out, and let's say we met the Broncos in the beginning of the season, I don't think that we would have lost, because Peyton Manning wasn't doing so well at the beginning of the season either. So it's very interesting to me. I think it's because we are so unused to having the Ravens lose three in a row, and I think that's the biggest reason why people are freaking out.
It would be one of the biggest reasons why people are freaking out. We just haven't seen them lose. The last time they lost three was 2009. They were 9-7 and still qualified for the playoffs, and everything was fine then. It's just... That's the thing. You got to keep it in perspective. I'm not going to sit here and try to reach in the bag deep down and pull out an answer and search for a big answer here and give it all to you. No one's got it. You know, Steve Bisciotti don't have an answer. The Cats don't have an answer. Harbaugh don't have an answer. Oz don't have an answer. Caldwell don't have an answer. They just got to put it together. 60 minutes of football, offense, defense, get it together, play as a team, play for each other. I don't know what they need, but they need spark, and hopefully with our veterans coming back, I'm hoping to see Ray Lewis come out of the tunnel on Sunday and do his little dance routine and get everybody fired up and show them that we're back and we need business, and we beat the defending champs, because they didn't play great football on Sunday either. They got lost, what, 34-0 against the Falcons?
Yeah,
they didn't
exactly
even score a point.
They did not look good. They did not look good, and that's the defending champions. Yeah.
And speaking of defending champion, that's a whole other issue in their division. There's a three-way tie for first place. I don't even want to get involved in that right now. But in the NFL, this is what Goodell did and put the division games at the end of the season. I mean, thank God Big Ben threw a pick and helped us getting back into the playoffs. I mean, that was great. That was a classic game, and all his Raven Nation enjoyed that one. But these division races are still unsettled. We still can win and clinch the division. We can still be division champs, like Harbaugh kept saying all week so far. I've heard it in two press conferences. We're still on track to achieve all the goals we set out to do. They're already in the playoffs for one. They win one more game. They win one out of two. They're division champs, so they defend their division championship. We're AFC North champions for 2 years in a row. Then we get a home playoff game. If we lose out, then we're just on the road the whole time in the playoffs. So it's called pick your poison at this point, where you want to be, because there's no way we're going to get a bye now. So you might as well just try to play for the home game in the division, and let's see if we can get a home game for the fans and be here and try to win a game and make a deep run. But it's going to be harder now, because they, instead of controlling their own destiny at 9-2, now it's 9-5. So it's kind of, I mean, we've gone a month or so without winning football, and this is kind of crazy around here, but I'm still going to enjoy it while I can.
You know, I always enjoy a Ravens game, even if, you know, I do want to turn it off at halftime like I did last Sunday. But I always enjoy seeing the Ravens on the field. You know,
this tells the story, Brandon, and I forgot to mention this earlier, but it just dawned on me. I mean, we heard of T-Bowing and how bad Sanchez was on Monday Night Football. That was atrocious.
That was nasty.
Four interceptions and a fumble. I'm telling you, the Jets got to make a change, and And speaking of Tebowing and everything, I hope he takes over. And, you know, not that he's a good quarterback himself, but, you know, he's shown he can get it done a little bit sometimes, but he's not, he just can't get it done all the time. But here's the thing. I don't know if anybody's seen this out on the web, but have you heard of Flaccoing today?
I saw that. I saw that yesterday. Our good friend Glenn Clark at WNST, he's an internet meme now.
That's hilarious. I appreciate Glenn for sending it out because I've got significant this week, and my boss actually told me to this. She goes, "You've heard of Flaccoing?" I said, "No, what? Shoot me a picture." I actually chuckled really hard. And I was like, "That's classic," because the picture I saw had Flacco flat on his face. Then they showed a picture of some guy like laid out in his bed or something, and then they showed a guy on a beer pong table in the middle of all the cups.
Yeah, middle picture, that's Glenn right there from WNST.
You know it is?
Yeah.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah, that's him.
I thought he looked familiar. But it just shows you that, you know, they're trying to have some fun with this. But that pose, that picture, just sums up. I tell you, it's deflating. We got our heads on the ground. We just got to pick ourselves up, and that's where I want to be at fans is, look, we need to go over to him. We need to pick him up, shake him up, and go, where do we want to be? And Harbaugh put it in front of the team this week to think it's a challenge. We look at this as we need to conquer this and overcome it, and then we can be a better team because of it. So we can win one game and we can get another game. But for right now, we're in the playoffs. I'm going to enjoy five straight seasons, no matter if they look bad or good, because I'm telling you what, we're the final 12. There's 20 other teams that would kill to be in our spot to be in the playoffs. There's teams that haven't been in the playoffs in years, 20 years, 30 years. There's teams that never even won a playoff game, let alone been in the playoffs or even won a championship. So I'm going to be grateful and count my blessings that we are in the playoffs. And yes, we had some lucky wins this year, some luck, some skill. It all played in a factor, but we're 9-5. We are qualified for the playoffs, whether we like it or not, thanks to a little help, because the rest of the division is that much worse. So, I mean, let's just enjoy it, fans. And we have a big game on Sunday. We got the defending New York Giants. We all know that we beat them in the Super Bowl. And we've had some good regular season games come in the past, but for right now, we need a big, big win, and we just can't drop three straight at home, let alone three straight games going on, four straight games losing. We just can't drop three straight at home. Who would have thought that?
I know, that wasn't one of the things I was worried about going into this season, but here we are, you know, three straight games, hopefully not a fourth, but we do have Eli Manning, and here's the biggest question, and I think it's for both sides. Which team is going to show up? Is it going to be the Ravens that are focused that we saw on week one against Cincinnati, or is it going to be the Ravens that we saw last week against the Broncos? Because you got a team that's ready to go, that's fired up, that wants to get in your face, wants to win games, and then we have a team that looks frustrated and looks tired and looks broken down. And the same thing goes for the Giants. Giants do have some great games this season, but then again, just like last Sunday, they seem like they're down and out. It's a parallel for the season for these two teams.
Right. And speaking of parallels, I was just thinking about this. The Bears were 7-1. Now look at them. They're 8-6. Any team, even the Broncos themselves were 3-2 or 2-3. Now they've gone on a 9-game winning streak and they're 11-3. Patriots just lost this weekend, but they were on an 8 or 9-game winning streak after they were 3-3. And they were 1-2 at some point. Teams, and this is the great thing about the NFL, some teams get hot and cold during the season. Sometimes it adds up to not a playoff spot. Sometimes it adds up to a playoff spot. The good thing about the Ravens is that they've lost straight, but they've had some help, and they're fortunate enough to be in there. But don't take that for granted. I wouldn't want this team to take for granted and go, yeah, we backed in, but then not do anything about it. I would be more excited as a Ravens player right now at the opportunity to have, okay, no one really believes in us. We've lost three straight. We lost two in a row at home. We looked atrocious. We backed into the playoffs. Everybody's going to laugh at us. Well, that's what I would love, to get my act together, go out there and play great football and start beating people and going, oh, we're back, fellas. We're back. So, and that's why I'm excited that the opportunity is in front of the team, in front of us as fans, enjoy it right now. That I'm telling you right now, I would love to see this team, you know, not that they're listening right now or hearing and getting motivated by my words, but I'm sure Ray Lewis will some way, shape, or form echo what I just said. And let's put ourselves up instead of flaccoing and throwing our faces in the dirt and looking at the ground and kicking helmets and throwing tantrums. Let's pick ourselves up and get back to where we need to be and start playing good football. We made it already, so now let's get together and make a deep playoff run, because we're not going to make it. We'll be one and done. And then that's my rant for the week. But we need to break down this Giants matchup, and I want to get to that too, because it's, you know, both teams are division leaders. The Giants are tied, three-way tie for first place with the Redskins, and the Redskins are hot themselves. They were 3-6, now they're 8-6 themselves. I mean, like I said, teams going hot and cold. I mean, who would have thought the Redskins would be in the position they are now, 2 weeks left, when they were 3-6? So things happen in the NFL. It's very exciting to see. I'm very excited to see in the next 2 weeks how the playoff picture shapes up. But for both teams and fans, before we even get to it, the game has been flexed for anybody who's going or watching on TV or getting any plans together. The game was really scheduled at 1. We moved to a 4:25 kickoff because it's one of the big games this weekend for division leaders, and it's a must-win for the Giants, because the Giants play the Redskins the following week for their division. So it's important for both teams. Both teams need the right ship. It's going to be a war zone out there.
It is. This is going to be a big game. Even the NFL knows it. And it's going to be two teams that really need to find themselves this late in the season. And hopefully the Ravens get hot and that they can take these guys down. And it'll be, I think, even being just a win is going to help pick these guys up. But beating the defending champions is also going to be, it's a nice little feather in the cap to be taking out the team that took you out last year and then to take out the team that won the whole thing. So hopefully they do win this game, and hopefully it'll be a pick-me-up pretty much for these guys. But still, even this week, I mean, we're hearing stuff about injuries, and this is a lot of injuries on this team. And we have, I believe it's Jameel McClain. He's going to be out for the rest of the season because of a spinal cord injury.
Yeah, that's unheard. That's just wow. That's a big loss there too. Another big injury to Jameel, and I feel for him.
So that's going to be the big thing for us is we have to be able to handle these injuries and do what you got to do, because it's going to be tough out there. It really is, and it's going to be a tough game. But we'll see. We'll see what these guys do. What for you do you think is the biggest thing that these guys have to do to win this game?
What the biggest thing this weekend is? Just looking at the matchup, I think more or less it starts in the trenches. Brandon, it's going to be the offensive line. We have to look at very, very in depth right here and say, okay, if they can keep the Giants pass rushers at bay, which is going to be a very, very, very tough task, and keep Flacco upright, not running for his life and looking like a deer in headlights and throwing stupid picks and taking sacks and fumbling the ball. I mean, three straight games with Flacco a strip fumble, and you just can't do that, and then atrocious three straight losses. So there's a key factor there. You got to protect the football. Set time and time against it. That's one of the keys of games. If we don't turn the ball over at all, we might easily win this game. If we make Manning have mistakes, we'll beat them as easily. Another key thing is Ray Rice has to be an integral part in this offense. Ray Rice runs should run the offense. It shouldn't really be Joe Flacco's offense. Ray Rice, I'm not saying Ray Rice get 40 touches, no. I'm not saying Ray Rice get only 12. I'm saying there needs to be a healthy balance between his touches and his involvement in plays, whether he's a decoy, whether it's a screen pass. But it seemed like, and there's a reason why, some fans were screaming, why is that Rice play check in? I don't think they threw a pass to any receiver down the field till the second quarter. I mean, granted, I already knew the team was going to lose the game when they didn't get a first down the first quarter. I had a feeling. So it's just, we need to get first downs, move the ball methodically, use our guys. The difference between the Broncos and us was they were blocking for Manning, and Manning's receivers were getting separation. Our receivers weren't, whether they were running the routes or whatnot. I don't know what's going on, but we've seen what this offense can do. We've seen them torch the Bengals on the opener Monday Night Football. We've seen what they did to the Raiders. Granted, they were the Bengals and Raiders, and they weren't the Patriots, but see what we did. We went toe-to-toe with the Patriots. We went toe-to-toe with the Cowboys. So here's another high-powered offense. They got Victor Cruz. They got the dangerous runner David Wilson. They got Team Nix, who might play. I know he's been battling injuries. Manning's Manning. You know, he can turn on. He's one of the very good quarterbacks. He's got two rings to prove it at the New England Patriots' expense. It's going to be a tough matchup. If the crowd can get into it early, if we keep the game close, I think we can win this game. And it's going to be tough for me to predict it because both teams are playing over right now. It's almost hard to pick a winner. I almost want to pick the Ravens by default because they're playing at home and they need it worse. I'm actually going to pick the Ravens. I'm going to go with the home team in this one and give them the benefit of the doubt. I know I picked them losing last week, and you know, I hate to say I was right. But here we go. I'm going to pick the Ravens. Let's go with 20, hard to say. I'm going to go 20. Man, I don't even know if they're going to score 20 points, but I'm going to go with 23-21 Ravens.
I think it's going to be really close like that as well. I don't think there's going to be a lot of goal scoring because these guys are really both of these teams are just they're just not doing well as of right now. We'll see what happens this Sunday. So I think it's going to be like 17-14. But the key for me is, first off, Joe has to be consistent and Joe has to be accurate as well. Because plenty of times this week he was throwing balls and they were way over the receiver's head. Or when he is accurate as well, the receivers have to be ready for it. Because when Joe hits you in the numbers, you can't let that drop. I mean, Pitta did that a few times. And Jacoby Jones, he did it once or twice. But Jacoby Jones really has a lot of heart. He really wants to play football and he's very happy here. You can tell, especially this past Sunday. Because he really never gave up. But that's the big thing that the offense really has to focus on. I'm not putting it all on Joe because he's got to get time to be able to throw accurately and to throw the long pass and get things set up. But Joe has to be accurate because plenty of times people were open and he was just throwing over their head. And
he did look inaccurate a lot of times.
Yeah, absolutely. He has. He has to work. You know, he has to do a lot of work. And everyone's going to blame him right now. And that's brought on because Cam Cameron's gone. And that was his first game without Cam Cameron. People got to realize that, too. So he's working with somebody completely new. And, you know, at your own job, it takes a little while to gel with new people. So it'll be very interesting to see what Joe does. But as far as the defense goes, the defense cannot give up. If you noticed, everybody talked about it. Kerry Williams, he pretty much lost where the ball was. And stopped running after the receiver had caught the football, and the receiver pretty much walked into the end zone to get a touchdown. And Kerry Williams slowed down and pretty much stopped. He had no idea what was going on. So the defense, you know, any quarterback that needs to throw the football, he's going to get down the field because these guys just aren't covering the receivers the way they should be. So the defense really has to step it up, especially in the secondary. They need to get this under control, and they need to be on people, and they need to I don't want to say work harder, but they need to maybe they should also be a little bit more accurate about where they're going, where their guy that they're covering is, and where the football is.
Right, and my point, just hearing you say a few points, I don't know what's worse in this country, or at least for our focus on the game, is what's worse, is it gun control or is it control of the football for the Ravens?
That's all you saw on Facebook was those two issues on Sunday.
It's control all over the place because the Ravens have lost control the last 3 weeks, and we need to get it back against the Giants on Sunday. And no pun intended, people. You know, no offense taken if anybody's thought that. You know, I know it is a tragic thing up in Connecticut, and you know, thoughts and prayers again. Like I said in the beginning of the show, I mean, I just making my two cents known. But you know, again, it's not really a political show, and I don't really get involved in those kind of things. But you know, things will take themselves if we can be a nation and really, you know, grieve with those families and come together and really, you know, just like I said, I just wanted to throw that out there and say, you know, apologize if any offense is taken, but, you know, hey, I got to have my fun where fun's due and really making fun of the Ravens where we can, because sometimes they don't give us room to make fun of them often because they haven't been really horrible in the last 5 or 6 years. So when they're just this bad and this atrocious, I think we can throw a few jokes in there. And hopefully we won't be having no more flatulent jokes, because hopefully we'll be flatulent over a win instead of a loss this time, and actually picking our heads up and saying that we actually won a game the last month. So
yeah, what I would like to see, instead of Flaccoing being laying, you know, on your stomach face down in the dirt, I want to be Flaccoing to, you know, screaming yeah and then pumping your fists, you know, in the air as much as possible.
Yeah.
That's what
that's
I want Flaccoing to
be. Yeah, that's true Flaccoing right there, where he's like, yeah, and it gets all into it, and we're real fans know what that's about because we've seen it before. We need to get it back, so hopefully it's going to be an interesting matchup against the Giants on Sunday. We welcome the defending teams. It's the season finale at home, and we got two games left. So anybody going to the game, and hope they can enjoy the season finale. Is barring for a division win, hopefully we can have one more home game. If we win, can win the division. If we beat the Bengals in Week 17, or if we can get past the Giants this weekend, we'll be having a home playoff game, which will be great. And I'll be happy enough to be in attendance to that one. And I just really can't wait to see what this team can do on Sunday. And enjoy the late game at 4 o'clock kickoff. Just allow us to have time to get things done throughout the day. And, man, I'm revved up. You know, we're going to be in prime time under the lights, defend champs. It's always a good time. And really can't wait to see this matchup. We've been waiting for this for a while, and you're right. With the Manning brothers back-to-back at home, we knew it was going to be a hard stretch of the schedule in December, and it's really hitting us now. So hopefully the Ravens can pick themselves up. And, you know, hey, we've been saying playoffs all week. We just hit a P word now. We're in 5 straight years. It's an unprecedented feat, but now we need to go in and win a game or two, 5 straight years in the playoffs. Since getting there, they need to put some wins under the belt. But let's start this weekend against the Giants and not get ahead of ourselves, and maybe we can be AFC North champions. How about that?
I'd be happy with that. You know, I definitely want to see a win on Sunday. If you're going to be at the game, or if you're going to be watching on TV, of course you've got your phone there. Follow me on Twitter at Brando Cash. I'll be tweeting during the game. And Josh, where can people follow you on Twitter during the game?
They can follow me and all my Flack Wing fanatics out there. You can follow me at ItalianGQ52.
Sounds good. And if you're on Facebook, you're one of those old folks still on Facebook, go to Facebook.com/BrandoCash. Make sure you go like the @BrandoCashNetwork. That way you get information about the call and all the other shows on the @BrandoCashNetwork. If you're listening to us outside of iTunes, make sure you go to iTunes and click subscribe in the iTunes store. Search the call. And then write us a review on iTunes. That way, you know, the people at iTunes kind of take a little bit notice of us and helps us climb the ranks a little bit. And if you enjoy the call, or if you don't, whatever you want to do, tweet, Facebook, Instagram, if you know you don't care about them stealing your pictures, Tumblr, Pinterest, put all the information that you can, tell people that you're listening to the call and that you enjoy the call. So definitely let people know about that. It helps us kind of, you know, gain a little bit more traction. And got to send a big thank you out to anyone who has actually listened to the call. We've checked out our channel visits on Podbean, and they're over 2,000. So pretty amazing stuff for, you know, two guys that are talking over a phone, recording in a basement, and just talking Ravens football, just two fans doing that. So thank you out there to anybody who has downloaded the show or listened to the show.
I appreciate that, guys. Eck and Brandon, we all appreciate that as well. And Brandon, you don't have to give them the secret away. I kept telling people we record in this extravagant studio with all kinds of Raven stuff around us, and that they got to ruin it for us.
Well, you know what? We're in the basement. Maybe we're in the basement of M&T Bank Stadium. Who knows?
Who knows? Yeah, I just wanted to give that secret. But you're right. It's been fun, and you know, we're not down and out yet. We still got shows to do, and we're going to talk as the season winds down how all season is going to look. We're not going to go away till August as usual, but we'll be here. But again, you know, starts at week 16 again. I hate to say it, but we're in week 16 in the NFL already. It's been great. Last home game of the year. Hopefully we'll have one more, like I said before, and I'm ready to go. And hopefully this Sunday, instead of flatulating, we can actually start winning, and let's see these Baltimore Ravens fly high for us this Sunday.
You know what you got to say, though? You know, this is going to be our last show before Christmas. So besides the Ravens flying high, I think you ought to say Santa fly high as well.
Well, Santa's got to fly high and bring us some gifts. We know the Ravens have been playing very naughty as of late, but really, to all the fans out there, we wish you a safe and happy Christmas. Merry Christmas to all. It's going to be great. Hopefully, Ravens can bring us a win on Sunday to really start the holiday week right and win the AFC North Championship, and would like to see that happening, but the Division Championship, and we'll start my holiday off great. And we'll be tickled to death, and look out for a holiday edition next week. You know, drink your eggnog, be merry, open gifts. Hopefully Santa treats you well this week. And if you're celebrating your families early, we appreciate you listening. If you're listening during your holiday travels, we really appreciate that too. And it's going to be a great, great holiday season this year, winding down 2012. Looking forward to 2013 and what's in store. And being our first year up and running with the call, and really appreciate everybody, and hopefully 2013 will be even a bigger, better year for us. And we look forward to doing a lot more shows and a lot more fan opportunities out there as we get revved up.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for listening to the call. This has been a great episode this week. Josh, did we cover everything?
If not, given the recent frustration, I hope Ed Reed's got it.
He did have some flu-like symptoms earlier this week, so who knows if he's recovering or not.
He got huddled over, say no excuse. He really got manhandled this weekend, so he needs, not to say he's going to take a seat on our call out here, but I'm telling you, that was brutal for play by Ed Reed. He needs to step up as well, says everybody. But hey, he's Jud Reed. He's still a Bulldog, and he always still will get there when he can.
Absolutely. All right, Josh, send us out in good fashion. This is going to be it for the call. Thank you for listening this week.
Let's go, Brandon, ladies and gentlemen. Let's go, Baltimore Ravens. Let's fly high this Sunday.
This has been a production of the At Brando Cash Network.